રામ રામ હરે હરે, બોલો બોલો. પકારો પકારો. હરે કૃષ્ણ હરે કૃષ્ણ, કૃષ્ણ કૃષ્ણ હરે હરે, હરે રામ હરે રામ, રામ રામ હરે હરે. બોલો બોલો, સબ લોગ પુકારો. હરે કૃષ્ણ હરે કૃષ્ણ, કૃષ્ણ કૃષ્ણ હરે હરે, હરે રામ હરે રામ, રામ રામ હરે હરે. હે હે ગોપાલ, જય રાધા માન બિહારી, રાધા માન બિહારી રાધે, જય રાધા માન બિહારી, રાધા માન બિહારી રાધે. સબ લોગ પ્રેમ સે પકારો. જય રાધે જય રાધે, જય રાધે જય શ્રી રાધે, શ્રીલ પ્રભુપાદ કી, ગુરુદેવ કી, રાધા માન બિહારી લાલ કી, માનગઢ ધામ કી, માન મંદિર કી, શ્રી બરસાના ધામ કી, જય જય શ્રી રાધે શ્યામ. અભી હમ બરસાને કે અતિ ઉત્કટ સ્થાન પર આયે હૈ. સ્થાન કા ઇતિહાસ બડા અદભુત હૈ. આપ સબ લોગોને અરે ઇંગ્લિશ ઇંગ્લિશ, યુ હેવ રેડ જર્ની હોમ બુક? હાઉ મેની ઓફ યુ રેડ જર્ની હોમ? ઓકે. Have you read Barsana chapter of Journey Home? This is the very place where His Holiness Radhanath Swami, Param Pujya Ramesh Babaji Maharaj and Sakhicharan Baba would sleep in the night. Now it is all done up nicely. It was mountainous that time, you know, all muddy or stony like that. But this is the very level and this is the tree under which we are sitting and they were sleeping. And all this is afterwards. This is after creation. So, I have stayed here also many times with Radhanath Swami in that room. I must share this small story with you. How kind Maharaj is. So, we had come here for some work. As usual, we come, sometimes stay, sometimes go back. So, that time we stayed overnight here. So Maharaj wanted to always stay on the mountain. He would not stay down somewhere. He would like to stay up. So we were given that room. Maharaj slept on the bed and I slept down. And I knew that I have some snoring problem sometimes. But if I would sleep on the sides, I don't snore. So I was very tired because when you are alone with Radhanath Swami, there are a lot of service is there. Carrying bags and giving things and looking, so many things. So I was tired. So as soon as sleeping time came, I just went to sleep. Maharaj also went to sleep. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw here and there and again slept. I was actually praying in the heart ki I should be always on side only so that I will not snore and Maharaj will not get disturbed. But once you go in deep sleep, what happens? No one knows where you are, which side you are. You are on the back or right side or left side, no one knows. So I woke up at 4 a.m. finally. And I wanted to get ready, but Maharaj was not there in the room. So then I got quickly ready and then I came out and I saw Maharaj chanting somewhere here. So I said, Maharaj, I hope I didn't disturb you in the night. I said, no, everything is fine. I said, Maharaj, please tell me. No, no, no. Then he told me that I was snoring so loudly that he couldn't sleep only. And then because he thought that now anyway I cannot sleep, so let me chant at Man Mandir. So whole night he was sitting and chanting here. And I felt so guilty, you know. It was out of my control actually. Then afterwards I got my thing tested and then I got the CPAP machine and now I use the CPAP machine. Now I don't snore anymore. You know what is CPAP machine, na? Which year you are studying? So there is something called as obstructive sleep apnea. Are you aware of that? You can go and read when you go back. After you age sometimes and you put on some weight and all, you snore because of the flappy airways. Because of the pressure, the snoring sound comes. Obstructive passage of air. So I said, Maharaj, why did you kick me? You should have kicked me and woken me up. I could have changed my position. He said, no, no, no. You were so tired. And you were sleeping so nicely. I didn't want to disturb you. That means I understood, even if he's a guru, but he doesn't give the position of a kindness to devotees, you know. I can't say anything else, but a person who is a genuine devotee of the Lord, whether he becomes the topmost guru of the whole universe, but he doesn't give up the position of a menial servant of devotees or a menial caretaker of devotees or menial kindness to the devotees. That's a real devotee. He doesn't carry the aura of being a guru or some high position or whatever, commandership or presidentship of temple or whatever. He imbibes the spirit of being dasanu dasanu das. As a guru, he could have told me, hey Vishwarup, wake up. I am getting disturbed. Sleep outside. He had all the right. I would have gone outside and slept. But he didn't disturb an insignificant servant like me also. And he thought that maybe Radharani wants me to chant alone in the night at Man Mandir, reminiscing my memories of Man Mandir. So chanting the whole night. I was not a bit angry also. I was very blissful and grateful actually. Not like that, okay, he tolerated in the night, but as soon as I woke up, he chastised me. It's not like that also. So I was so embarrassed that day. But it's very great fortune to be serving such a great devotee of the Lord. In fact, one time Radhanath Swami and me went to meet Ramesh Babaji Maharaj. I'll tell you who is he. In the one of the yatras in Vrindavan. And by noon, we reached there. And when he reached there, Babaji Maharaj was taking his lunch prasadam. So we just sat outside till he completed. And then we went inside and met him. And then when we went inside and met him, Babaji Maharaj was very serious. Looking at Radhanath Maharaj, looking away, thinking something, again looking at him. And with such conviction he said, today my day is successful because I am taking darshan of a devotee of the Lord. It is very rare in human life to get darshan of a devotee of the Lord. Is zindagi mein bhakt ka darshan hona bahut durlabh hai. Aur aaj mera din safal ho gaya kyunki maine aapka darshan kiya. Aise unhone Radhanath Maharaj ko bataya. It's a simple statement. What is the big thing in that? But see the depth. Such a great soul, Paramahamsa, is telling another Paramahamsa that today my day is successful, that I have taken your darshan today. So all of us need to also understand that the greatest gift in human life is to meet a pure devotee of the Lord and having the company of devotees. This statement Radhanath Swami made also in Srinadji Prabhu's program that day, last program that we had in December. He said the greatest gift of life, I was recording. The greatest gift of life, human life, is to meet a pure devotee and have his association in this life. And then he said, higher than that is to be able to serve him or serve them. The opportunity to serve the devotees is the highest in human life. And no, nothing else is the wealth of life. I was hearing his lecture in Barsana IKM 2010, 2 days back. He said that no wealth in this world can actually save you from any sufferings of life. Can birth be saved? Birth pain can be saved by death, by money? Can disease, pain can be, disease will be relieved one day by antibiotic. But the amount of pain that you have to go through, in spite of medicines or no medicines, right? Then the amount of pain that you go through because of old age, you don't know, I know. I'm getting old, slowly, slowly. You have to go through, whether you take medicine, you do yoga, you do pranayama, you walk, but the pain of old age, the backache and the joint pains, they will not be cured by any wealth or any medicines from your life. And any medicine in the world can cure you from the pain of death, save you from death. No. But devotion to Krishna can save you from death. Service to devotees of Krishna can save you from death. Opportunity to serve the devotees can save you from death. And that is greatest wealth of life. Then another thing he was explaining that why the dust of Vrindavan is so powerful and so important. He said that because, okay, what we were discussing that time was that even if you collect all the wealth of all the three worlds and of Vaikuntha, you still cannot purchase one grain of dust of Barsana Dham. So what is there in this wealth? Said all the other wealth can aggrandize you in the material world. You know, you become powerful, you become very important, this and that. But none of these wealths that you have in the world can actually save you from any suffering of this world. But this one dust particle of Barsana can release, can reveal the secret of all topmost devotion to Radha and Krishna and can release you from cycles of birth and death. That is why it is valuable. It cannot measure in currency how many millions of dollars it was worth of. You can imagine Vaikuntha wealth cannot purchase the dust of Brajbhumi. And we are so fortunate, we have already attained that. It's already all over, on your feet, on your body, somewhere. Each particle of that dust will purify your heart. But that dust is like a visa actually. If you get American visa, it doesn't mean you are in America already. There's a long way between the visa and getting in America. You have to buy a ticket, you have to prepare everything, you have to clear the customs, everything. And one day, because of that visa, you will reach America, right? So like that, attaining dust of Brajbhumi is like visa of Golok Vrindavan. And from here, your journey to back to Golok Vrindavan will start. But you have to really work hard and prepare and be worthy and qualified to go back to Godhead. But once coming here in Brajbhumi, in the right consciousness, is your guarantee that you will go back to Godhead. Whether this lifetime or next lifetime, you have to decide yourself how serious you want to be. You want to make Pancha Jeevani Yojana or Ek Jeevani Yojana? That's up to you. But this place is potent enough. By just one visit to this place, it can take you back to Godhead. It's not because we are great, because we are here. No, the place is so kind and merciful. The place is a personality. Every dham is a person. Many personalities serve as dham. So Mangad is a dham. Brahmachari is a dham. Barsana is dham. They are all personalities. And they reciprocate with you as per your devotion. The personality of dham will reveal to you depending on how pure, how sincere, how focused you are. And how sin-free you are. And somebody comes and performs sinful activity here, then the dham conceals all his glories. It appears all gutter to you, all dukkar here and there, all political people, all cheating rikshawalas and smoking brajvasis and stealing brajvasis you will meet here. That means dham has concealed all his glories from you. And only the material reality around you of the material world is revealed to you. So it's all only when you come with sincere motive and focus with sincere devotees to dham, you will be saved from all these onslaughts. Somehow or other, we have never undergone any bad experiences because we always came with Guru Maharaj. Everything was fully organized and protective. Even in when to go, when not to go, with night time not to move around. You know, remember how devotees would cordon the devotees and how safely ladies and gents would take out as soon as it becomes night. So all that worst part which could have been revealed to all of us was never revealed to us. But we hear in newspaper, so many things happen here also. That means there is one drishya swarup of dham, and there is something called adrushya swarup, aprakat dham, and that is real dham. There is a curtain of maya in between this and that. You know, consciousness is not properly molded, then that external ugly form will be revealed to you, and you will never come back again here. My brother came alone here one time, all the pandas looted him, and with a bad experience he has never come back again to Braj. I told him, why you went alone? Why don't you come with me? But he went alone, and all pandas really squeezed him, took away all money from him, and he has never come back again. I took yatra of my family one time, but he didn't come. So, what brings the dham to you is not your train ticket, is not your accommodation in Govardhan, is not the food that you eat here. What brings you to dham is your consciousness. If your consciousness is properly prepared, then the dham will be revealed to you. Dham is waiting for revealing. But if consciousness is not right, then dham will not be revealed. Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam tathaiva vajamyaham. As and how you project yourself to Krishna, accordingly Krishna will reveal himself to you, and his dham will reveal himself to you. And if there any pride is there among in our consciousness for anything, I am a educated person, I am a medical doctor, I am from a very affluent family, you know, my family, there are 16 doctors in my family, and there are all 8 hospitals for family running. Any amount of pride for any damn thing we bring with us, it's like a big curtain between us and the dham. Swamiji Maharaj has told one time, before coming here, we have to give up the rajogun and tamogun of city and come here only with sattvagun. Chhod ke aaya karo rajogun tamogun yahan par. Then dham will. Dham is a vishuddha sattvaguna. But at least little sattvaguna we have, and some glimpse we will get. May not be everything, but some glimpse, you know. That's why we have to be praying constantly. One of the secrets of getting a glimpse of dham, even though in an unqualified state, is calling the holy name of the Lord constantly while being in dham. And along with calling, praying to Radharani for her mercy at the bottom of her heart. When in 1986, first time we came here, only 22 of us came to this place. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami received us at Mathura Station. Can you imagine? And there only we sat, and He gave us welcome glass at the station, Mathura Station only. Today is like a big, big dream, you know. Can this happen again? So, a lot of nice things He told. But one thing has gone right in the heart and stayed there permanently, that line. He said, right from now onwards, till you get back in the train again to go back, you need to constantly pray for the mercy of Radharani at the bottom of your heart, in the inner corner of your heart. While you are doing eating, going, walking here and there, listening lectures, sleeping, every moment you should be praying for the mercy of the Radharani, which is like the entry pass in the holy place. Anywhere our mind is distracted, dham is closed immediately. As soon as your mind is praying, dham opens. And the place where a pure devotee of the Lord performs his bhajan. Please listen carefully. Don't look here and there. And the place where a pure devotee of the Lord performs his bhajan with utter devotion, free from any attachment to the world. At that particular place, dham is much more revealed. As a general situation, it's like open only. By the dint of the power of a pure devotee, that place is very, very spiritually responding to you or enveloping you in an open heart way. And because Babaji Maharaj has performed tapasya here for 64 years now, he came in 52 here. The time this place was Dakait Adda. They would hide their stolen things over here. There's a cave here. If you go in the train, there's a cave. Radhanath Maharaj also was there in that cave. There's a cave here which they would store their things. And no one could dare to come on this mountain because of the loneliness here and the fear of the dacoits. And Babaji Maharaj came here in 1952. He was only 12 years old. Twice he attempted to leave home. And one time he got scared and he came back. Second time TT caught him and he asked him to leave the train and he went back home. And third time he left and he came to Brajbhumi. He started staying over here. And then his parents were like telling Jyotishi and, you know, Kundali, this, that. They showed somebody his photograph. There are many things, you know, we have to find a lost person. So then they went to expert who saw his photograph. Small baby, 12-year-old. So he saw his photograph and they said, "Are, why are you wasting your time in searching him? This man is not from this world. He doesn't belong to a family. He just happened to be your child. But he is transcendental. Just forget it. Don't search him. When you find him, don't pull him to back home. He is not going to come back home." Because he was born after long time, after many children, they didn't have son. So his father and mother went to Rameshwar and did some puja there for having a son. And then he was born. So his name is Rameshwar Prasad, actually. Lovingly they called Ramesh, but his name is Rameshwar Prasad, as a Prasad of Rameshwar, you know. And from childhood he was detached. He was a great devotee of the Lord. He had no interest in anything. And always running, wanted to run home from home. And so many stories are there. So then he stayed here. And he would dance here. And this is a brass dance mandal also. They would dance in the night. In ecstatic. I have attended that when he was young. And then dacoits came here and threatened him for life. There's one story that dacoits would always threaten him, "Leave, leave." But he would not leave. He would do bhajan here. And night time, loudly calling out the name of the Lord. Loudly. All over Manpur will be hearing the name. Like this they would call. So one time many gunners came, dacoits. Actually threatened him and kill him. So we are sitting here, dacoits came. They said, "Get out of this place. We will kill you." So like looking at him, nirvikar. Nirvikar means totally unaffected. "If I am threatening you, at least you are palpitating, you are sweating, something is happening to your eyes. I can make out that you are scared. Even a dog can make out that you are scared. Right? Dog also looks at you, and if you are really not scared, dog will run away. But if you are scared, dog will keep coming on you. Even the monkey knows that you are scared. It's a game of wit. When monkey looks at you, he's scared or you're scared. Everybody knows who's scared. Then only we are scared. A monkey is overpowering. So he's like nirvikar, you know. Blank. He's like, "What are you looking at? He will kill you." So he made one very cool statement. "Are marne ke liye to aaye hain." It requires deep conviction to say that line. After that, the dacoits couldn't do anything. They just went away. And the last scare I can give it to you, or the fear I can give you, is of death. But a sadhu who is beyond death, who is in love with the Lord, who cares? Whether I die, I meet Krishna, whether I live also, I meet Krishna. So, kya hai wo Prabhu Brahmachari ka, kya hai wo? Ma mara ma jiva. Jivo wa maro wa. For a devotee, whether he is living, he is with Krishna, marega to be with Krishna only. With that statement, the dacoits went away, emptied their accommodation here, and Baba established himself over here. One time he was sleeping over here, and he was taking a stick and sleeping. And somebody asked, "Why are you taking stick?" He said, "I have heard a chitta has come." So they asked him, what your stick will do when chitta comes? So he said that, "I have to do my job. Radharani will do her job." "I have to do my job. My job is to keep stick and try my best. But whether to live or not, whether tiger will kill me or not, that Radharani will decide." This is devotee of the Lord. And then Radhanath Maharaj would stay here and fetch water from ground. There was no water source here. No hand pump, nothing. So all the way Maharaj would go down, our Gurudev, and lift two buckets. And that time, not just beautifully made steps were there. We have also climbed when we came here, a rocky road. I mean rocks only, huge. You have to be young only to climb that. Then the road was made where I came by car from there, and then nice steps were made, and nicely you are very nicely, you know, you can talk to your wife, talk to your husband, talk to your children, and nicely get down and get up. No effort only. In those days they would lift the buckets. In those days they would go and do Madhukri in the Manpur and come up and give Baba, and Baba will share and then they will eat. When Sakishan Baba is there, he left now. And Ramesh Baba and Radhana Swami and one more Grihastha would be there, Prakash Singh. He is now 80 plus. Very nice devotee, very nice Brijvasi. And they would have satsang here on the top. And the choicest of all realizations and biggest part of the whole wealth of devotion our Gurudev received over here in the form of realizations in the heart. This place is very powerful. Huh? So, I cannot go into much details of the Leela over here because this is very deep and esoteric. But in short way, Radharani gets angry here on Krishna for certain reasons. There are many reasons are there. But the only reason behind getting angry actually, baseline reason, is to increase love. When we get angry, it's called krodha. When Radharani gets angry, it's called maan. And maan and krodha, what is the difference? Krodha is selfishly based. When myself is unsatisfied with my desire, unfulfilled desire, then I get angry. I wanted you to respect me, but you didn't respect me, so I get angry. I wanted you to pay me money, legitimate money, you didn't pay me, I'm angry with you. I am involved. When krodha is there, center is me. When maan is there, center is Krishna. That is the meaning of maan. She is not getting angry because her selfish ego is hurt. She is just exhibiting maan to please Krishna and to increase the love and bonding between the two. So there are many, many reasons here, transcendental reasons, why she gets angry. And she comes and sits on this top. So this is also that top of the mountain where she is sitting. All the above is, we can say, man-made. But this level is not man-made. And Radharani would come on top of this mountain and remain naraz, upset. And that time Krishna would come and plead, bow down to her, plead her, touch his head on her feet, shed tears on her lotus feet. She would not feel angry, not give up her anger. And then one time Lalita Devi spoke something in Krishna's ear and both of them went away. Radharani kept sitting over here only. And on that side, there is one mountain peak is there. We will see while going down. That is called Morkuti now. And that time on that mountain peak, she is sitting over here, it's directly visible from here. But now also you can go and see. This wall is in between, but it's visible. So a nice peacock came on that. Beautiful peacock. And he spread his feathers and started dancing. So Lalita, Vishakha, all girls, Sakis came. Oh Radharani, oh Vrishabhanu Nandini, oh Sriji, see, why are you so angry? See how beautiful mountain peacock has come. She's not looking. She's not looking. Still the peacock is dancing, dancing and dancing. Looking at his dancing, many peacocks come. They start dancing, accompanying him. Many peahens come, they're dancing. And then, at one point of time, Lalita says, now you see how beautiful the dance is, how much time you'll be angry. So she reluctantly, she turned and saw. And when she turned and saw, it was such a beautiful dance. So then she fully turned and saw. And sat and sat watching. Looking at her, seeing the peacocks got more enthusiastic, they danced and more peacocks came. The clouds came, started giving very, very beautiful, soft rains, pleasurable rains. Very pleasurable situation. And the gopis started giving sounds of their bangles and ankle bells, you know. Na mrudanga kartal. Ankle bells, bangles, banging and creating beautiful music. And they dance and dance, and at one point of time, Radharani got so inspired. She went and joined the peacock and started dancing with him like a peahen. And the peacock and the so-called peahen started dancing together. Everybody was so happy. All gopis started joining, dancing. And at one point of time, in the dance steps and dance action, the peacock and peahen embraced each other. And that time Radharani came to know the peacock is none other than Krishna. By the time her anger had gone away. So this place is an eternal more Leela place. Eternal peacocks are dancing over here. Not only getting angry, at times they both come together and breeze is flowing and the peacocks come and they start dancing and they observe peacocks dancing, both of them together. And other times they dress up as peacock and peahen and dance. At other times they become peahen and peacock and dance. And so many more varieties. And all the time clouds are accompanying. Music of bangles and ankle bells are accompanying. Such a sweet place actually. Very deep and very intense. To understand this, we require a lot of purification. We are all lusty people. When our lust is unsatisfied, we get angry. And then that becomes multiplied in so many, many things. But here we learn that there's nothing like anger for ourselves in real devotional life. Anger is only when the devotees are hurt. Anger is when devotees are in danger. Like Hanuman got angry. He burnt old Lanka. Not for himself. Not that he knew that one day when I'll do this, there's something called Sundar Kanda will come in Ramayana and be able to keep reciting my glories, how I burnt Lanka. Let me do it now. He didn't know. He just naturally angry in devotion to Krishna, Lord Ram. But his anger was only meant for Lord Ram, not for himself. When people laughed at him, when he put sindur on all his body and sat on the pathway of Lord Ram, everybody was laughing. He didn't get angry that time. Why are you laughing? It's my devotion to Lord Ram. No, he was okay. When Sita was stolen and he was told, he burnt all the Lanka. So our anger is for ourselves. Devotee's anger is for Krishna. But on our own, we cannot control our anger. Because the lust which is below the anger, it cannot be controlled by us. It's just only Sri Krishna can control it for us. And only when we surrender to his lotus feet, we can hope to get the anger subdued, lust subdued by Krishna. Till the time we are surrendered, till that time the anger and lust appears to be subdued. It's like the ball, you know, is filled with tight air and you are pressing it on the water. Till the time the hand is on the balloon, the ball, the water appears to be have the balloon under it, or the balloon appears to be under water. As soon as the hand is released, the balloon, the zoom, comes out. And that hand is Krishna. If you are surrendered to him, the hand will keep the lust and anger under water, unmanifest. Moment you leave Krishna, you become independent, zoom, it comes out. Hare, 10 years I was away from this attraction, what happened to me now? Right? Saubarimani was underwater, Jamuna. And fully controlled for years after years. No effect of lust, anything. But he offended Garuda. And immediately the first male and female fish he saw. We see pigs having sex and we see monkeys having sex and we see so many having sex. Every time you see somebody having sex, you just don't go and, I want to have sex right now. Don't do that, right? It's dirty animals. You know, what is there so much pleasurable? Maybe we'll get attracted to women, but mere fish he saw having sex, he left all tapasya, came out, went to the king, told him, I want your daughter as my wife. Nobody wanted to marry him. He changed his form, he became beautiful as a prince, and all 50 wanted to marry him. He married all 50 and created thousands of children. After a long time, he came to know what went wrong, where I am today, where it began. Then he went and researched and he came to know, because I cursed Garuda, I lost the connection of mercy of the Lord and was disconnected. And all the detour he took, and he repented and he came to the Ramtal near Vrindavan. You can take them if you have time. Very close by to hospice. Ramtal, Saubarimani's tapasthali. There he came back and all his wives came back and they all become virakt and they went back to Godhead. So, surrender to Lord genuinely will protect us from his anger and lust. Here, the pastimes are taking place only for those who are free from lust and anger. Rest all, we just come here, stories and go away. We have to pray here actually. This is a place for praying. Because all these esoteric, deep, loving pastimes of the Lord are not just to read and mug them up and tell others and you just discuss. That will not give us any realization. What will help us in the fallen condition is when we pray to the Lord. The prayer of the sincere heart attracts the attention of the Lord and will save us and will reveal to us the greatest treasure of devotional life. We have come here so many times. You must have also come. Thousands of devotees have filled this place up and down. And we have had hours and hours of kirtan here. Most memorable historic events, you know. In between here is a harmonium and no lights. Only one lamp to read the bhajans. And all over thousands of devotees and resounding the holy name, calling out the name of the Lord. I'm sure such calling, when it is done, Radha and Krishna are hearing it. In fact, we are told constantly by Brijvasis, ki she is always hearing when you call. When you sing, she may not hear. When you call, she hears. That means when we have to sing as if we are calling him. Pukarna chahiye. Raag mein bhi ga rahe hai, toh theek hai, anand aa raha hai raag ka. Very nice color, swar combinations, we're giving a lot of pleasure to the heart. But all the swar combinations, all ragas, all melody, all instruments and all singing of yours is meant to call the Lord and to attract the attention of the Lord. And through that attention of the Lord to you, the mercy will flow you and give you devotion and realizations. Beautiful, satisfying, entertaining, fulfilling kirtan is good instead of hearing filmy songs, but it will yield realizations when you call. Sambodhan, Saptami it is called as, Sambodhan. And the Sambodhan is there, then even if you are out of taal, out of sur, Krishna will listen. Bhimsen used to, people used to laugh at him when he used to sing. He was like a rough and tough man, he could not sing. Whenever he would sing, people would laugh. So he said, people are laughing at me. He said, don't worry, I will go with you jungle and you sing and I will hear. And Bhima would sing for Krishna in jungle. Krishna is not impressed by our melody and our expertise. Krishna is impressed by our devotion in the heart. And for that devotion, we come here as beggar. We come here as beggar. Please, my Lord, I am a beggar. Let me beg you for your mercy, so I get some devotion, some mercy of yours, so I can save myself from Maya. Hare Krishna. So down, there is one kund called Gahavar Kund. When will you get down? I'll tell now only to you. These are four heads of Brahma. Down? Yeah, I can tell. The time is already up, na? That's why. 1 o'clock is lunch. We can sit there for 2 minutes. I'll tell Surya, you can sit down for 2 minutes. Huh? Kaitre we can do also, yes. So, that if this four heads of Brahma, that pond is Nabhi of Brahma. And that is where Radharani takes bath every day with her 64 chosen sakhis. And from Morkuti, the coward boys throw laddus to disturb them. That's a place called Morkuti where peacocks danced. So one old Baba was there, old blind Baba. Radharani came in his dreams and Krishna performed more Leela in his dreams. So what your medical science tells? Blind people can dream or not? Yes, doctors, third minor. What is your understanding? Can a blind man who having full corneal opacity, retinal retinitis pigmentosa of advanced grade, can he dream or not? Who sees? The eye see? Eye sees or you see? This is not in anatomy and physiology. I'm sorry, sir. But tell me, whether you see or your eye sees. Who hears? You hear or your ear hears? Who hears? You hear. You are the soul. For you to hear and see, there are equipments like eyes and ears and everything. So a blind man also can see a dream fully. He may not see anything of this world because of the opacity, whatever. But he will have Divya Chakshu, Atma Chakshu, Shastra Chakshu, Shravan Chakshu, and he can see the world. The spiritual world, the holy places, are not to be seen by eyes. They are to be seen through the eyes of the ear. Through ears we see the holy place. So Radharani and Krishna performed more Leela, what I just narrated to you. And Radharani ordered him, you paint this picture. So he said, I am blind. He said, don't worry, by my mercy you will be able to paint. And he painted that picture, blind man, where Krishna is like this and Radharani is like this. So there is like this arch of their two hands coming together. Radharani's left hand, Krishna's right hand. And that picture is there, and full there is the feathers of the peacock. Because feathers are all spread, no? And that picture is there on the altar on Morkutir. And that's what they worship there in Morkuti. And from there the Kwalbal throw laddus when the girls are taking bath there. So it's a nice thing, no, to have laddus instead of tomatoes and eggs. So that is a place where Radharani takes bath every day. And it's also a place where Madhumangal was caught one day by gopis. And Madhumangal, you know, big tummy. He was caught by gopis. He could not move faster than others. But Madhumangal shouted at Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, and Krishna Balaram came and scared the gopis. So you are hitting and disturbing and insulting a Brahmin boy. We'll break the thread and curse you that you will get married with an old man having 7 wives. So they are simple-hearted gopis. They got scared with this hard statement. And they immediately released him and said, please. So he became immediately, yes, you offended me. Before that he was like getting beaten. Oh, save me, save me. And Krishna Balaram put a dialogue on the gopis. They immediately struck. So this Krishna said, you gopis, you offended a Brahmin boy. You have to beg forgiveness now. Ask him how he can be relieved, how he can be appeased by you. So gopis fell at his feet. Oh, Brahman Devata, please tell us. We offended you, beat you with the sticks. So he said, go home and bring laddus. No laddu should be repeated. No repetition. Ki aap bhi rava ka laddu, he bhi rava ka laddu. No. Every laddu should be in unlimited numbers and should be different than others. So they went home. And with great devotion and some fear was there also. They cooked all those and brought him. And the bank of that kunda, they put him on the asan, singhasan. They worshipped him. They garlanded him. They fed him with bhoga of laddus. And he ate nicely all laddus. And then he said, now I bless you. You will get married with the person we want to get married. Who is the Praneshwar of yours? Everybody knew. There's only one Praneshwar of all of them. That is Krishna. And you will not get married with an old man having 7 wives. That place is also that kunda only. Surrounded by beautiful holy trees. We just had yesterday evening. Was it yesterday evening? No, day before yesterday evening. In the night we came here. And light also went off. In the middle of the cold, dark situation, 130 of us did melodious kirtan for a long time, praying to Radharani. Such a beautiful experience. So these are all places which are filled with ecstasy. And my dear friends, you will come to know when you are here listening to the pastimes and immersed in the memory of the Lord, all your miseries will be finished. It will not touch you, it will not remind you of any miseries, or maybe there's a baseline miseries you have in life, for example. You will be above all those things when you are here absorbed in Radha and Krishna. So the remedy, the inevitable sufferings of life, which we say in philosophy, which you cannot get them cured, right? Your old age, your disease, your death. You may apparently get free from one disease, but another disease will come. So disease getting situation cannot be changed. But you can rise above all these sufferings of life just by being immersed in the memory of Radha and Krishna. So baseline miseries will go on at one level and you will be above them. That is what we call as transcendental. When you become transcendental, go above the level of misery of life, that is, in memory of the Lord, all misery will be finished. And what is sadhu? Why they are always blissful? Because they are always above, always transcendental. So they may have disease, heart attack, this, that, nothing affects them. They are fully transcendental. Don't think it's only for sadhus. You also can be like that. We also can be like that. The method is given to you also, which they have taken seriously, we haven't taken seriously. The holy name is given to you and them also. The holy name is revealing transcendental situation for them. For us, we are still suffering because we have not taken shelter of the method 100%. And when you take the 100% shelter of the method of chanting of the holy name, we all will be transcendental. This place will help you to be transcendental. By the dint of his pastimes, by the dint of his spiritual power, and the mercy of the devotees who stay here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There are two more places here. With me may not go, maybe go, I don't know. Time is less. There's one place called Gauri Kund, also called as Bihar Kund, where Lord Shiva came one time to get ready to call Radharani. And what is the meaning of getting ready? What do you get ready? You have to become a woman, you have to become a gopi. So he was attempting to dress himself as gopi, but he was not successful in doing that nicely. So then Gauri appeared. As soon as Gauri appeared, Gaur Tej spread the whole kund, enlightened the whole kund. And Gauri said, "Oh my dear husband, oh my Swami, how will you know how to become a beautiful lady? You learn from us. I will dress you." She had no problem in making her husband a lady. Because she knew, what is he becoming lady for? She knew he is going to call Radharani, where she also calls her. Both of them have together performed tapasya, 90 days tapasya. Traimasik Vrata, in Brahmavarta Purana it is explained. They together worshipped Radha and Krishna and received the mercy of Radha and Krishna and blanket permission to stay permanently in the dham. So they are the only two devatas who can stay permanently anywhere in the dham. And their son Ganesha got permission to stay in Kamyavan. Rest nobody. Kale ana or jana. So she dressed him as Gopi, as Gopeshwar Mahadev. It's also called as Maheshwari Sar, that place. The Lord Mahesha became Maheshwari and went and called Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. She also went and called. Then the other place is called Dhoni Kund, I told you already. Vishwanu Maharaj used to milk all his cows there. And there were trees filled with donas, the cups on the tree directly. Very, very beautiful places. Each place is filled up with pastimes of the Lord. This place we are sitting is also including the Ghaivarban. Okay, I forgot to tell you about Ghaivarban. I told you about Ghaivarban. I told you about four things, huh? Khor, Kirak, Giri and Ghaivar. Up to Giri I told you. What is Ghaivar? Radharani herself has made this forest. Planted all the trees, creepers, everything on her own. Gave water and parvarished, cultivated them. And in childhood, Radharani and Krishna would get creepers married with trees in a festival. And everything is arch-like she has made. You have to go through the arches of flowers and creepers and Krishna takes her inside, releasing all the creepers and taking her inside the deep forest of Ghaivarban. So in that sense, Ghaivarban and Mayapur is not different. How? Well, Radharani also developed Mayapur herself to attract Krishna. And she played flute and Krishna came. And he said, "Oh, this is now Vrindavan. I will bring all sadhus here, I will bring all the birds here, I will bring everything over here and I will never leave this place." And that place was then named as Mayapur. So in one sense, Ghaivarban and Mayapur are not different. Both are made by Radharani. Both are made to attract Krishna and please Krishna. So this is Ghaivarban. And there is something called as Man Ingitvan, just next to this. Another subset of Man Mandir. Very deep places. They can give us deepest of realizations and deepest of attraction to Krishna. Provided we are very humble and we are very subservient, ready for dedication for our life to Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. See Gurudev's instructions. Ultimately it all boils down to chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas and following the order of Guru. These three things we do, wherever we are, all the holy places will be revealed to you in the heart, wherever you are. We come here to understand, but still wherever you are, the glory can be revealed. It's all the matter of consciousness. Dham also is a state of consciousness. Wherever the dham consciousness is there, dham will reveal itself. Whether in Mumbai, Calcutta, Madras, New York, wherever you are, if you are in dham consciousness, dham will be always with you. If you come here and think of Mumbai, you will be in Mumbai actually. Your body will be over here. So we all have to cultivate that consciousness. Wherever we are, Prabhupada had that consciousness. Srila Prabhupada carried Vrindavan in his heart, distributed Vrindavan to people and to places and brought people to Vrindavan from foreign countries. So he carried Tirthikurvanti Tirthani. He was walking holy place. It was the fourth level of Brajvasi. A Brajvasi who carries the Braj in the heart wherever he goes. It was that category of Brajvasi. So we have to adopt that consciousness. And I pray for all of you, Srimati Radharani and Guru Maharaj, to give you that consciousness, to remain always prayerful for the mercy of the Lord. Lord Shivaji has made one beautiful stotra, Kripa Kataksha Stotra. He has composed that at Maheshwarisar, by the way, when he came. He composed that stotra and he gifted to his wife. What a gift to give your wife. Kripa Kataksha Stotra. And what is the best line? Kada Karishya Siha Mam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. Hey Radhe, when you will be merciful upon me? When your merciful glance, Kataksh, will be upon me? When will the merciful glance of yours will fall upon me and will uplift me from the muck of this material world? Kada Karishya Siha Mam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. Hey Radhe, please be merciful to me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.